have a resolution on your agenda this evening that is providing authorization for additional cabinet. So I want to just talk about how we get to that
point. Noise out there. She stuffed it.
We have 2020 capital budget, which at the time we drew everything up here this evening, we were at $22,850,000. So your action that you just took, my understanding is we'll reduce that number by $750,000.
Right.
So we'll be at $22,100,000 will be the capital budget. So the process that we take from that point on is in prior years you have authorized borrowing. So we utilize anything you've authorized before, we account for that in this financing, and we come to a number that says how much do you still need to authorize to issue enough bonding for your 2020 capital budget. So with that $22,100,000, we've got about just over $9.2 million that's previously been authorized, so we net into that number. The resolution you had was for $13,614,000. We would, $13,615,000, we would reduce that by the $750,000. So when we bring this back, or your consideration this evening would be for an additional authorization of $12,865,000. So that gives you the authority to issue the bond or the notes to pay for the capital projects. So the two handouts are what we call the pre-sale reports to fund your 2020 capital with the amount needed for issuance of debt. We would be considering $8,555,000 in general obligation corporate purpose bonds. And the bonds would pay for your major highway projects and improvements to the public safety building. So those would be the bonds, the balance is notes. So the capital items that you reduced this evening of $750,000 would reduce the amount of bonds, or excuse me, the amount of notes that we would issue, promissory notes. So the whole $750,000 would come off the notes. So if my math is correct, the notes that ultimately that you'd be looking at borrowing for next year would be $13,575,000. So we will update all of this before we bring it to the full board on the 6th. So that's kind of the big picture. So it gets a little confusing because we have these pre-sale reports for two different amounts and then this new authorization. The new authorization is just the additional amount that needs to be approved before we can issue this debt. And we do this now, but the plan would not be to borrow this money until late next summer, as we've done in the past. So that's why you would not see an impact on the 2020 budget for any new debt. It'd be the 2021, because we wouldn't be paying any of this new debt service until 2021. So what I'll do is I'll talk about the promissory note schedule, because the schedules attached are the same on both of the documents. And I heard some clarification earlier from your student representatives here. We issue bonds for a period of more than 10 years and up to 20. That's the ultimate amount by law. So that's why we've included like the major highway improvements and your public safety facility, because those are long-term capital assets that have a long life. Anything else is included in a promissory note, which is 10 years or less. So that's the majority of your capital projects are being financed for less than 10-year time period. So with the promissory notes, on both of these, there's some preliminary pages that talk about the authority under the state statute, the reference to that. We talk about the term of the issue. We talk about your rating and a few other things. But the big schedules that I would like to walk through with you begin on page 6. So the pre-sale reports that we're addressing tonight are related to the 2020 issues. There's a note issue and a bond issue. Those two together then would constitute your entire capital plan. Again, we'll be reducing these numbers accordingly based upon the reduction in project costs that you've identified. We always work with them to develop a multi-year capital planning and debt schedule so that you can see the impact of your five-year capital plan needs. So we've included that on that, but our focus is on these first two columns. So our 2020 notes, and again, these will be issued next year. We've now talked about reducing that $14,325 down to $13,000,000. $13,575 would be what we would reduce that amount down to. Our bonds would stay the same at $8,555,000. So those would be the two issues for next year. Again, that's your entire capital plan. On the page 7, again, this includes your multi-year financing, but we'll focus on the first two debt issues. We take all of your existing principal and interest on all your outstanding debt you currently have. We've estimated interest rates for the 2020 financings, and we estimate high at this stage because we don't know where rates will be. So probably the good news is they'll come in a little less than these estimates, but that would be the principal and interest. Now, for our planning purposes, we incorporate all the future items that have been identified by your capital plan. And the reason we do that is we want to make sure that you're staying within your borrowing parameters that you've established in the policies that you've created. So the document includes all of those future issues. And again, those are estimated interest rates. We jump over to page 8. And we consolidate this all together. You have some of your debt is being paid for by other sources. And by that I mean you have an issue from 2009 and 2010, this is in the middle of page 8, that is being paid for by the city of Kenosha. That was agreed upon back then, and it was fixed when those borrowings were done that they would pay a percentage of that. And so that's reflected there. Also, Brookside pays for the debt you issued for their facility, from their operations, and we include that offsetting revenue there. Based upon the actual sales that we've had in the last couple of years, we've had some additional bid premium that is available to pay interest, and it's in your debt service fund. We're accounting for that. So the blue column then would be the proposed levy for debt. 19 and 20, that's based on existing debt, so it's 21 before these new financings would be undertaken. Again, there's estimates on interest cost at this point. And for purposes of the calculation of a tax rate, we've utilized your 2 years of actual growth in your equalized value. It's been 6.42 and 7.48. We've forecasted some more conservative numbers going forward for the next few years. We also forecasted closures of two tax increment districts within the city, one in the city of Kenosha and one in Pleasant Prairie. Am I correct there? Okay. So to come up with our tax rate. Now the tax rate is one of your targeted parameters in your debt policy to be less than $1.50 a thousand, and we are well within that parameter as well. So we end this with the amount of general obligation debt outstanding, and we do that to lead into our next page, which is also a benchmarking of your debt policy. So we start with the outstanding debt. The policy identifies a subtraction of certain types of debt issuances. One is we remove that portion that's being paid for by the city of Kenosha. We remove anything that was in your economic development support to CABA, and we remove the Brookside issue to come with an adjusted outstanding debt. And your policy says that that amount should not be more than 0.8% of the maximum authority. So we've calculated that in this column that's just to the left of bid. And the highest in your next five-year capital planning that you would get if you would undertake all of that, those financing, is 0.73. So you're within the policy that you adopted by the full board. You've got a substantial amount of remaining policy or capacity under the statutory limit, but also there is some capacity within your own established limits. And then ultimately, there's some other calculations here, but jumping over to the far right, again, we're looking at this on an equalized basis with some forecasting for growth in terms of borrowing capacity. And lastly, on the far right, one of the other parameters in your policy is that your debt service will be no greater than 15% of your operations. We're assuming a 2% growth in your budget, and you're well within that 15% max as well. One other item that's attached here, I could have brought off with this, I guess, is this was the capital project that list that was originally in your budget, item by item. Now, we'll make adjustments to that based upon the action of this committee earlier by reducing the numbers that you, the projects you've identified to reduce for that $750,000. Turning to page 11 then, that total will be reduced. And as I mentioned, some of these, the reason we're netting into a lower future authority is several of these items are being accommodated for in prior approvals, primarily the highway. Those have to be a special authorization to have a 20-year financing, so we're using up that capacity to issue the bonds. There's an amount for CABA that's in there. You have a prior authorized resolution for that. The law enforcement center, we're utilizing part of that. And then we had a little bit of remaining from the resolution you adopted last year. And we also had some dollars that you didn't spend from last year. So we're utilizing those now to reduce your future authorization. That's how we originally had come down to the very bottom. We highlighted it in yellow. 13,615. Now with the action you took this evening, this schedule will also be updated, and that number will drop down to, my math is correct, 12,865,000. That agrees with, I'm seeing heads nod over here, so that agrees with your finance staff. And the very last schedule, and there was some discussion about where interest rates are. This is the last 5 years of the municipal bond indices. This is a 20-year maturity. So you can see in the last 5 years, on the bottom far right is where interest rates are presently right now. So we're at the lowest point you've been in 5 years.
Really?
Borrowing rates on a 20-year issue. So we won't be issuing this debt until next year. So we'll see where rates are in that period of time. But to give you kind of an illustration, this last for the gold circle is on the top, and the gold circle on the bottom, that's within that last 12 months period. So rates have come down that much just in the last 12 months. So hopefully that made some sense. I mean, the goal was to kind of equate the planning for issuance of the debt to the authorization resolution that you have before you this evening. So if there's any questions, I'm glad to answer those or try to clarify anything.
All right, discussion. Discussion. Anyone? If not, Chair would entertain a motion to approve the initial resolution for
12,865.
And amending further the list here of projects that we've gone over, consistent with the committee's vote this evening. I think that fully states it.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Right, further discussion?
Just a question. In one of the paragraphs here, review of existing debt. You review that all the time.
Yes.
So any refinancing?
At this particular point in time, there's nothing that would warrant a refinancing. We'll review that again before we issue this debt. So at any time in between, if something should come up that makes a great deal of sense, we'll let you know.
Should something happen in the economy between now and the time we go out, and start and the interest rates start going up, whether they go up gradually or quickly, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen. But you'll be bringing that to our attention also,
right
away.
We'll work closely with staff. If we, we've talked about timing and we adjust that every year based upon needs. Last year was probably a good thing. We were doing it a little later than normal because rates have gone down. So we'll monitor that. And we'll keep in touch with staff. So if that's something that really does warrant moving faster, then we'd be able to. once the authorization is in place, then we're ready to go almost anytime you guys are.
All right, further discussion?
Yes, Parks Night.
Okay, any further discussion, questions from anyone? All right, seeing none, all those in favor? I think we'll do a roll call, because it's a lot of money here. Jack?
No.
Oh, is that what you said? Okay, no. All right.
No.
Okay, Ed?
Aye.
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 Aye. So, two dissents. All right, thank you.
There are three copies here.
Okay.
Please note, I changed the dollar amount, the final that comes to the board, you will have the right dollar amount.
I'll read this.
The next item is the budget resolution that was distributed the other night.
Yes.
If you want to pull that out, or if you don't have one, then we have it.
Yes, it's the last one.
All right, I'll be going through it like I've done in the past, page by page, pointing out things that are changes. I won't go through every change that has to do with changing a date from 2019 to 2020, but they are listed on this red line draft copy. So if you could turn your attention to page 2. The sixth whereas down the page speaks to the establishing the salaries of the county board, county clerk, register of deeds, and treasurer. The other half of this language is on page 9.
Why don't we address the salaries then in the back at the same time?
I will, yes. And then attachment A is the third piece of that. Mm-hmm.
What page are you on for that?
So it's page 2, page 9, and then attachment 8.
Well, then on page 9, you're talking about...
There's two pieces to this. There's the whereas, there's the be it resolved, and in this case, this has an attachment with the detail.
Okay,
page
26.
All you have attachment in. 26, yeah.
Page 26. So this would be establishing the salaries for those positions as shown on the attachment A.
Well, I'm looking on page 9, and it says, I don't know if this is related to that, but it says, further resolved, salaries for the county board, county clerk, register of deeds, and treasurer to be increased as per attached schedule. While the county board is, from my look at the schedule, the county board not getting any increase.
That's correct.
So maybe that language could read, county board will not get an increase or something, because you're suggesting in there that we get an increase.
Now take a look at page 26.
I know these are the proposals.
Keep in mind,
I'm not against not getting a raise. Don't get me wrong. But I just think that ought to be in there somehow, showing that we're willing not to take a raise.
I could word it in such a way to indicate that the county board isn't getting an increase and the others are.
That would appreciate it.
Why don't you just take those
off? We could do that.
Because we have to address that they were looked at.
You're setting the salary.
We have to set the salary for elected officials before they get elected.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
So take a look at page 26. Are you satisfied with those numbers?
Well, page 26 says exactly what it says. 2000, we will get the same as we get in 2021, is the same. So there is no increase for the county board. I'm not against that, okay?
Correct.
I'm just saying that ought to be identified in that resolution somewhere.
Yep, I will do that.
Okay.
What is the city council? Hmm? What is the city council?
Well, they have different things. They have a salary that's probably a little bit more than ours. They also have an account that's for
IT account.
Uh,
phones and computers.
Maybe you know what it is. You take a look at city council, right? Don't they have something for computer equipment or something? Or?
I believe that was monthly stipend.
That's the right word. Good word. Monthly stipend.
Stipend, yeah.
For work accomplished.
All right, John?
Yeah, I see the treasurer is listed there, and I'm not exactly excited about that after the delinquency mess we've had the last couple of years. So,
keep in mind you're setting the salaries before the election. So whether it is the current treasurer or someone else who wins for any of these positions, it is setting the salary for the position
incumbents
for those 4 years.
It's the ones
I take different people.
It could be different people.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, but I...
No, I understand. Sorry, I didn't answer.
No, I just think that the county board thing ought to show that we're not taking care of that. But I don't think that should be a continually thing forever. Okay. I think this is probably a good year to do that, in my opinion.
You think you're going to get that back at a later date?
No, I didn't say that. You know, okay. The problem we always had was, you know, if you want to take a look at the county board salary, I've looked at it. Okay, I looked at it when we got rid of the insurance in 2012. And the county board was at $6,000 in 2000. The county board was still at $6,000 in 2000. Ten.
Yeah.
So now we've gone up because it's been in the budget for the last two terms. We've gone up from 6,000 to 65 something or whatever it was, 65 something. I'm not saying that that should stop somewhere along the line, because otherwise you're in a position where you have to come in and say, I want 10%. Say, well, they're taking a 10% raise, but you haven't had one for 5 years. In 10 years, I won't be here anyway. So,
so nobody should get a raise.
Huh?
No,
I'm not saying you should.
Yeah.
You have to encourage people to run it. No, it's not like you get appointed to a committee or I get appointed to Gateway. Gateway pays nothing, but that's okay because I know what I'm taking when I take
little
it.
Little money for
but I think you have to run for office. You have to spend your money. You have to go through all that stuff. I think it's worth something. And then you can encourage people to run too. So enough said.
So are you proposing to change it or leave it alone?
I'm not proposing anything. If somebody wants to bring it up, I'm not against it. Anybody bringing it up, but I don't think we should do it.
All right, further discussion? Further discussion?
No, not on that.
Okay, why don't you go on?
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just saw that we're getting a raise and we're not. That's all.
At the bottom of page 2, we're just updating the federal inmate population based on the budgetary projection would be changing from 212 to 218 to reflect what's in the 2020 budget. On page 3, the crossed out items, there are items that were particular for last year. They're still in effect, but they don't need to be in this document as it pertained to last year. At the bottom of page 3, it starts with some language regarding a realignment project on County Trunk Highway F. The be it further resolved portion is on page 12. About the fourth one down there, the one just below the red line. And this resolution speaks to initiating support for a mutually beneficial IGA with the Village of Twin Lakes in the town of Randall to address issues following the completion of the realignment project.
Just as a reminder, the IGA itself would come back to the board.
Yes.
This is not approving an IGA, it's approving, initiating conversations on an IGA.
Thank you. On page 4, another item that had to do with last year's budget, so striking that. On page 5, a couple more items having to do with last year's and some changing of dates. On page 6, this is the bulk of the new language that's added, proposed this year. So on page 6, the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth, whereas, all pertain to an issue in which Twin Lakes is requesting that we quit claim deed a property that the county had sold to them prior to this. And the Twin Lakes would like to transfer that land to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, but it would require us to change the deed conditions.
We have represented Twin Lakes here. If there are specific questions about this item, ultimately, as Barna said, all the board is being asked to do is approve the modification of the deed. We're not doing anything further. The property has already gone from the county to the village many years ago. There were two restrictions on that deed. One of them was that it had to remain with the village. The village is looking to be able to transfer that to the DNR for various reasons. So that would require us to modify the original deed giving that property or conveying that property to the village.
So she's a representative. Maybe you can explain to the committee why you want to transfer.
Sure, so the Sandbar restaurant actually is situated.
Can you come up here? Put you in a hot seat.
What's your name?
Jennifer Frederick. Last week I was the village administrator for the village of Twin Lakes. This week I actually moved on to another community, but I said I would still speak on behalf of this this item. So basically the Sandbar restaurant is situated over a lot line. It's half on DNR property, half on village property. The DNR does not allow private for-profit businesses to use public parcels. When we did the original land exchange, they allowed this for a short term, but at the end of a 10-year period, we would be required to demolish the building or repurpose it for public use. So the village had proposed to swap properties. They're about the same size of acreage, and we've worked through the EPA, the DNR, everyone to get this all resolved. In doing so, in order to do a lot line adjustment, we would need to take this 10-foot strip of land that the village purchased from the county back in 2012 to do a CSM to combine the lots together. In working with our surveyor, it came to our attention that there was this deed restriction. So apparently back in 2012, when we purchased the land from the county for back taxes, in our letter requesting the purchase, we said we'd keep it in village ownership and as green space. Somehow that was put into the quitclaim deed as a restriction. So we are not able to transfer that land to the DNR with those restrictions in place. So
Are they willing to take it?
Yes, everything is all done. We're literally about to go record it and realize there's a restriction in place. So we would highly recommend or suggest or appreciate just what we consider a housekeeping item.
I can advise that the administration is in favor of this. Again, it really has no impact on the county. We're simply removing the deed restrictions so that the village can proceed with their plans. There's no cost to the county. The village has agreed to pay whatever expenses are involved in re-recording, et cetera.
Correct. I don't know if you received an agenda packet or anything, but we did get a letter of support from the DNR also.
Matt is passing that out right now.
Okay.
So everyone will get a copy of the letter from Twin Lakes and from the DNR.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What, are you the clerk out there or the treasurer?
I was the administrator.
You're the administrator.
She moved on.
I moved on. But yes, I was.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Frederick.
Yes. Want some royalties or honor?
No wonder why you piped up.
Yeah. We got a Frederick up here, too, so he's really proud of the name. So.
Yeah, that's Uncle Ron.
Uncle Ron up here.
Grandpa.
Yeah, she thought you looked familiar. There you go. Yeah.
That's good puppet.
Pictures are coming.
He's a rich uncle.
Fun yet, huh? It's good to get a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
very exciting stuff. So the other half of the language for this, just to point it out, to button this one up, on page 16, the first three, be it further resolved, that are in red, pertain to this request regarding the issue that we've just discussed. Back on page 6, the seventh whereas and the next four after that pertain to the establishing the name of the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, of which on page 16 is the be it further resolved, the actual language having to do with the memorial park. And the last four whereases on page 6 have to do with language regarding accepting land from the DNR on, from the DOT, to be donated to the county and to establish a park along the Fox River. The parcel number is depicted there. The be it further resolved language would be on page 16. Would be the two just above the last be it further resolved. So this language would negotiate the receipt of the donated parcel and that the county board would approve the creation of a park from that parcel.
So is that part of the floodplain? Because I see it's behind the Sly Fox there on Route 50.
Yeah.
I don't believe so, but I can't say that. I have to check probably the planning.
Because I know the water was at least halfway up in the park, almost to the building, in the Sly Fox there, so I would assume a lot of that would have been underwater there.
If you look at attachment E, which is
the last page,
it shows the actual lot on a map that was provided by Planning and Development. So you can see exactly where that is located.
And I think it's important to give credit where credit is due. This is something that Supervisor Decker can see. Hmm.
Okay. So if there are no comments on the next page, on page 7, the top three whereas have to do with the successor labor agreement between the county and the Deputies Sheriff's Association, which has gone through the Judiciary and Law and the Finance and Admin Committee. The other half of that language is found on page 16 as well. And that's the last be it further resolved, in which the language shows that that the County Board of Supervisors would approve and adopt the 3-year labor agreement as included as attachment. And the attachment is Attachment B. Back on page 7, the fourth whereas is language that was requested by Chairman Esposito to be included in the budget resolution. It has to do with establishing a policy for attire by county board. And that's found on the attachment F, the very last page, shows the specific details of that policy. still on page 7. The fifth whereas and the next four after that have to do with county-issued electronic and mobile devices to county board supervisors. On page 7, it lists the whereas regarding that. The be a further resolved language is on page 17. And would include the second, third, and fourth be it further resolved. And as you can read from the details there, it specifies what's to be done when something is lost or misplaced and the process in which it takes for it to get replaced.
So how many of these have been lost or whatever?
I'm not aware of the number of them. This also was language that was requested by Chairman Esposito.
So, to the Chairman, how many iPads have been lost at this point?
Lost?
Or damaged or whatever?
As of right now, I don't know anything. I mean, to my knowledge, that I'm clear that they're gone, you know what I mean? But we're starting to use technology more and more and more. And at the end of the day, and if you're entrusted as an elected with a piece of equipment, and if that's gone, I don't think the taxpayer should have to pay for that. I think the person that pays it should. Can you agree with that? Or?
I agree with
right,
it, yes.
Right. No, so that's.
I just wondered why it came up at this point, you know.
Well, because we have more electronics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? About 5-6 years ago, we didn't even have. We started this, and now, like anything, we're going to roll out after so many years of these iPads. You will continually, become paperless. So that was my thought process.
Okay, I thought maybe there was a major problem, people breaking them or something.
No. I hope not.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, based on our conversations, as it says in the resolution, in the last, let's call it 3 to 4 years, we sort of rolled out this program to try and reduce the use of paper and so forth. There wasn't really an accompanying statement as to what was supposed to be done with these devices in the event that there was a loss, a situation or a storm, et cetera. Further, I think, and I wish that Sean was still here to be able to speak to this from an IT standpoint, I think we're also becoming more and more cognizant of the potential security risks of, having these devices when they, if God forbid, they go missing. And so part of this also deals, with the requirement that IT be advised so that they can take steps to secure or wipe that device remotely as necessary. I think it's just best practices.
Any other discussion on these items?
Okay. Continue on page 7. Again, some updates on dates and years. On page 8, it lists the levy amount. Now that one we'll have to update with the most recent levy amount based on the changes that were made tonight. The library apportionment figures listed. And on the bottom, it lists changing of the accounting number. When we went to our new ERP system, we changed our numbering system. So there are a few of those as you go through the document where we're changing it to the new account number. On top of page 9, it lists the dollar amount for the palpable errors. Last year's figure was $37,000. This year's it's $1,800. That goes back on to be charged to the levy. Let's see. So toward the bottom of the page, it also updates the health insurance budgetary figures for single and family to $10,290 and $24,700. On page 9.
Yeah. I might suggest that when I suggested about the salaries, I might suggest that you could just change that to be set instead of increased.
Yes, okay.
Would that do it?
Yep, that would do it. That would not imply an increase then.
Yeah.
That would be just set.
So we'll just scratch the increase and put set, right?
Yep. I will do that.
Good idea, Rob. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Page 10 would be just a date change. Also on page 11 would be just a date change. And after that, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all items we've already discussed. Yeah, that's why I did it that way, jumping back and forth. Knock it out. On page 19, this establishment of the appropriation unit language is contained in every year's budget resolution. Again, with the changing of our ERP system, some of the terminology that we use for accounting has changed. So instead of being an object code, it's a main account. We don't have business units anymore. It's a reporting. So this is just cleanup language to do that. On page 20, there's a item on here that's been on here since 2002 that is not necessary to have included in specific language here. Page 21, another update to the language, object code to main account. Page 25 lists, which is a statutory requirement, lists the county budget kind of summarized, rolled up. I will then, these numbers will be updated for the final on November 6th when the budget adoption night is, with the taking into consideration the changes that were made during the budget hearings. Then what's left are just the attachments that we've already gone through. Page 26 is the setting of the wages for the elected officials that we discussed before. Attachment B is the deputies association bargaining unit. Red line changes. That goes through page 33. On page 34, these are the handbook revisions that the HR director, Clara Tappa, had already gone through. Those are included. On page 35, it lists all of our positions and what range they fall in, and the minimum, midpoints, and maximums. Those will be updated based on the changes that were approved tonight as well. And attachment E is the map that we had looked at, and F, the last page, is the policies on standard for attire. So that completes my presentation.
Yeah. Move to approve as revised by staff.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? Yes, sir.
I would like to add a whereas in there for county board members so they can carry concealed on the county board floor.
Concealed weapons?
Yes. You know, as per Supervisor Wambold's presentation like he had.
Well, let me see if there's a second before we start talking.
What's that again?
A second.
Don't you have to be sworn?
No. I just, for my own clarification, is that concealed carry for those who are permitted by the state to do such?
Yeah. Correct.
Have to have one, right?
Yeah, you gotta have a permit.
Isn't there a sign somewhere on one of those doors here that says you can't come in the building?
You should probably ask Joe, is there something?
Isn't that?
Yeah.
In any of the buildings?
Yes. I have to advise, I've looked at this question. I don't believe it's an issue of discretion for the county board. I think the county board, having decided as policy to not allow weapons in the building other than those individuals, such as Supervisor Wambold, who are sworn law enforcement officers and are not covered by those provisions, I don't believe we have the discretion to pick and choose. I think we either say you cannot bring weapons into the building or you can. I don't think that we have the ability to carve out an exception for one particular group of individuals.
So the maker of the motion could add to this that, you know, licensed concealed carry holders from the state of Wisconsin are permitted to carry on county property or in county buildings.
That's not necessary.
No, it is, because we've indicated that whether you have a license or not, you can't carry weapons into our buildings.
You mean a police
officer? Sworn.
Yeah.
Sworn. I don't think that was the I don't think that was the point of the question. I think the point of the question was to allow CCW permit holders to bring these.
To your point, we would have to change the rule of, we're the ones who said that you can't bring weapons
right
in. So we would have to change the rule that we allow weapons to be brought in.
Well, that's what we're doing here. It's we, you know.
Not here. We'd have to have a policy change, I don't think. We don't just...
Wasn't...
I think this is not a policy. I think this is...
To the Chair of Corporation Council, wasn't this policy set as a resolution and not as an ordinance?
It's an ordinance.
It was a policy resolution, you know?
But you're saying the law requires... Either everybody can bring a gun in or nobody can bring a gun in except police officers.
My understanding based on my review is that, and I apologize, I didn't bring this folder with me tonight because I possibly didn't anticipate this becoming an issue. As a general rule, individuals who are permitted under state law to carry a concealed weapon, who have gone through the process and received a concealed weapon permit, are permitted to carry their weapons really anywhere. Private homes, and I'm going to keep watching you, so at the time you think I go, you go astray, you're going to tell me. There are separate provisions in the law that obviously control sort of private homes. You can, you know, as the controller of your own property, say, I don't wish for you to be in here with a weapon, and ask someone to leave or discard it. For businesses and governmental entities, my read on it is that it's an all or nothing proposition. If you want to say you can't have weapons in, you set that policy, well, I mean, for us, we set the policy, you make that determination, post the signs because you are required to post in a prominent and visible place so that individuals know they can't bring weapons in. You have to give notice that you've made that determination. Having done that, we can then ask someone who is in here with a weapon to leave because we have made the determination and we provide notice. I don't believe that there is an in-between where we can say this class of people can bring weapons in again. Notwithstanding that sworn law enforcement officers aren't covered by this law, I don't think we can pick and choose. I don't think we can say that employees could bring them in, but members of the public can't. I don't think we can say members of the Board of Supervisors can, but nobody else can. I think either we say anyone who has a CCW is allowed to bring a weapon in the building, or we have made a determination that we don't want weapons in our building, period, full stop, and that's currently the policy.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
So
there was this, yeah, okay, go ahead.
So I'd like to amend that to be it therefore resolved that citizens with a concealed carry permit can carry on county property.
Is there a second? There,
yeah, I'll second that for discussion.
For discussion, if I can, I have a concealed carry, but I wouldn't. I mean, I know that Supervisor Walmoder suggested that when you're here at a meeting, we have some protection. But if you happen to be absent that night, we don't have any protection.
Well, that's why at one time we brought up talking about...
On
the third floor, so
City Council
can't
has
out the
police
window,
a police officer. You know, we tossed the idea around about having a sheriff deputy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's open for discussion. But I'm always going to err on the side of safety. I would love that. I don't like the setup of our room. I don't like having my back to the gallery. So,
I agree.
You ask me.
Right. I agree.
Yes.
I think we should bring this policy up to a committee rather than putting it in a budget resolution now and have debate on it and have him have a chance to look up everything and... You know, I mean, I don't know that I'm prepared to vote on that right now. I just assume have it go through a committee and have discussion that way.
Yeah. Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, just actually, we're planning on putting out the agenda for the next legislative meeting. Because I had one supervisor that asked me about putting out the agenda. And I'm planning on doing that.
Are you going to bring a resolution if possible?
I'm going to bring for discussion on the committee, at the legislative committee. What's going to happen, I'm not really sure, but it's going to be a discussion.
Yes.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is because they started, you know, Patty started talking about the locks here, you know, and then I thought, well, what do we got up there, you know, so why can't we have some of our own protections?
John?
I think in the past we've had occasions where one of the deputies was in the back of the room.
If we felt that it was necessary.
For some issues or something, I remember them being back there once in a while.
I mean, what problem are we addressing?
It's just, in my opinion, it's preventative. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it's one of those.
Keep winning your cases, Terry. We'll have no problem.
What are your
With Supervisor Noodle saying that it's going to the committee, I don't want to dip too deep into it, though. But through the chair of Corporation Council, is the state statute not explicitly written, though, that business, or, you know, whoever that governing body is over the building, then assumes liability for each individual's safety inside if they do post a no firearms notice on the door?
Yes, there is liability that attaches to that decision.
Okay, yes, Claire.
If I might, from an employee safety standpoint, and the fact that our employees do deal with the public, and often, times the public that are unhappy, including my department, whether they're the public or other employees. So I would hope that we would give considerable thought and analysis to this issue. If there really is a county board concern, leaving it up to a professional such as a deputy to be on site with the weapon, I think would be, it's certainly in my case preferred, but if we have to open it up to the whole building, anyone, I would really like more deeper analysis.
Well, you know, actually, somebody who wants to do something, they're not going to worry whether they have a concealed carry or not. They're just going to have it in their purse or their pocket, come in and do what they're going to do, you know.
I understand that, but someone who comes in with one, who's allowed to, and then gets irate while they're here, certainly has it much easier access.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, like the bonding goes away and somebody gets irate.
John?
Well, you know, we've had the incident in Virginia where, you know, the city hall was shot up there, and, you know, if some of the employees there had their own guns and they were able to help out there.
Further discussion?
Just for my own clarification, I can't remember what the signs read. Is it no weapons or no concealed weapons?
No
weapons at all. So yeah, open carry is not allowed.
You either go one way or the other.
The other day it was a pen, wasn't it?
Right. Yes.
Could be.
I'm not saying whether I have a pen with me or not.
It could be a
all right, we're gonna. So the resolution is still on the floor.
It is.
To make it part of the budget resolution. Oh. Is there further discussion on it? And once you've just restated.
Okay. Be it therefore resolved, citizens with a concealed carry permit can carry on county property.
All right. Further discussion?
Well, I just want clarification. Yeah. So, with what Gabe said about
just bringing the bruise how many?
To your committee for more discussion.
Well, the resolution is on the table regarding.
No, I know. Yeah. I just want
to. I mean, if we want to draw it, we have to vote on it. So.
Supervisor Poole amended his motion. Was there a second to the amended motion?
Yes.
Okay. I remember. I caught the second to the original motion. I just
I probably did for the sake of discussion.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
That's all I think of the amended discussion. Yes.
Through the chair of Corporation Council, I'm not sure if a friendly amendment is here, but the language that Supervisor Poole is proposing says citizens, would it be safer? I have my own thoughts on whether this is going to pass right now, but with the language, you know, Wisconsin residents who are issued that, instead of just citizens, can that be seen as a citizen from Racine County comes down to do business and they're not
a card check?
Citizens of Racine are citizens of Wisconsin. No, that's what I'm asking. So I, no, but because the language just says citizens, can it be interpreted
Because can you not, I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you have to be a U.S. citizen to meet the qualifications for concealed carry in the U.S., or in the state of Wisconsin.
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm not certain. I know that there are provisions for people who have either gone through the Wisconsin process, and I believe there's a, and again, I'm looking at you to see if you know off the top of your head, I believe that there's a process for lack of a better term, reciprocity, if you've been...
I think there is for some states, and
but I
don't
know
have that list.
Exactly.
Well, the maker of the resolution has got the resolution here, which you can vote on it. You have your opinions on it. We can vote on it. If you want to change it, fine. Let's move on.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So, if there's no further discussion, we'll take a roll call. No further discussion. Seeing none, Jeff?
No.
No.
Yes.
Not at this time.
No. Yes.
No.
John? No. It fails. Okay, any other amendments here? What's that?
Well, Gabe said they were
going to
take it up at
committee. Well, that's up to them. We
debated
it tonight.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to dwell on it.
Yeah.
All right, any other resolutions, amendments? There is a motion on the floor by Jeff, by Rachel, right? To pass the budget resolution as presented, and there was a second, correct, Patty?
Yes, from Supervisor Kubicki.
All right.
Yes.
Further discussion?
We were up.
All right, we'll do a roll call in this as well. Jeff?
Yes.
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 Yes. All right, it passes.
Hallelujah.
All right, is there anything else before the committee?
No.
No hidden.
All right, that concludes the meeting this evening.
Motion to adjourn tonight?
There'll be no meeting next week. This comes up the following week. All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Y'all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No.
If you don't want them, we'll take them.
Yeah, that's true.
Extra credit tonight. No, we...
Oh, that was an hour and a quarter.
Yeah, that was...
You don't know what to do with all that.